will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Good morning. I am beginning a two-part series called God's ATM. When you use your ATM, you use your ATM to withdraw. Am I right? God is going to withdraw three things at the end of this world. The attitude will change, the times will be full, and the message will be clear. And when it is, he will withdraw his people. Are you with me? Say amen. I made a statement to you as a church a while ago, and I wondered if you still remembered it. When your attention is distracted, your understanding is distorted, and your vision is disrupted. When your attention's distracted, your understanding is distorted, and your vision is disrupted. That's why I came up with a phrase that God gave me one morning. The proximity of his presence determines the intensity of his power. Say amen. The proximity of his presence, the closer God is to you, the clearer the vision is. Mrs. White made a statement. For those of you who do not know her, please keep coming. I will have a two-part series on Ellen White. She says, "How often have the professed advocates of truth proved the greatest obstacle to its advance? Listen now. Unbelief indulged, doubts expressed, and darkness encouraged bring the presence of evil angels and open the way for the accomplishment of Satan's purpose." I'm going to make it through the end time. How about you? Amen? I want to begin with something the Holy Spirit gave me last night. Are we suffering from a sensation deficit in America? We've been so conditioned by telling and retelling of these times, and we've called Wolf so many times, the wolf got tired of hearing his name and ran away. But he's coming back. What I want to do today is study with you and not preach to you. Does that sound okay to you? I want to talk to you as a church. Let's have prayer again. Father God, take the message today and make it clear, Lord. And may we understand the reading and the telling and retelling of your word. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be talking about the Battle of Armageddon, the shaking, the sifting. And today I want to look at a few texts about the times of great trouble that are coming. You know, I wrote some things down here that are really interesting. Andrew Moran writes, "Sudden bank failures set off a crisis, ending public trust in the United States of America. Iranian warships are now for the first time docking in Latin America. Russia and China, we would call the axis of evil." Sounds like World War II almost, doesn't it? "Gathering together to attempt to take Taiwan. Will the United States allow that to happen? We cannot afford to. Most of our chip manufacture and our high-tech things come from Taiwan. It is Americanized, as Hong Kong was. You know, the devil does not come in waving a flag to you and me saying, I'm here. In fact, many times, if we're not careful, the devil attempts to lead our lives in subtle ways. Since the beginning of January 1, 21, about 3 million illegals have crossed into America. Texas is going bankrupt. They don't know what to do with it. These are a sign, a symptom, a condition of America on the verge of being rescued by Jesus Christ. I do not have the answer for the future, but I have enough answers for me to know that God is still in control of the events that are happening in this world. And I will close this message as we continue with what I believe we must do if you and I are to finish this course. Again, I don't have the answers, but I know one that does. We need to build a foundation in our message before we can build a house. How many of you understand that? I've heard preachers get up front, it's a beautiful message with no foundation. I do not want to do that to you. There is a way of studying the Bible through Jesus Christ where you retain knowledge and you're inspired by the Holy Spirit. I have a class, How to Understand the Bible. I'd like to teach it sometime here. How to Understand the Bible. Take two texts. I want you to turn with me to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Matthew, the 24th chapter, please. Matthew chapter 24, let's begin with verse 21. Let me begin with verse 20. I'm going to show you something now. Please follow me. Invite your friends. It's too late in this world for you to stay home from church. You can never say, you have nothing to hear. I'm preaching the truth to you. And it is not personality, it's the power of God. Say amen to that. Okay, verse 20. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, listen to this now, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And then if anyone says to you, look, here is Christ, or there is Christ, do not believe it. You should underline that text in your Bible because Satan is going to appear as Jesus Christ. False Christ and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive. If it were possible, even what? I want you to know something. I think I gave you this text before. I want you to remember it, dear saints. The word arise, false prophets will, say it with me, arise. That word is taken from the Greek language agero, and it means rise from the dead. Satan is going to raise false prophets. You want to see Paul? I'll bring Paul up. You want to see Luke? I'll bring Luke up. We will see signs and lying wonders that we have never seen before. And unless you are anchored in the Word of God, you will not make it through this final crisis. Is that clear? Do you understand that? Do you agree? The Greek word here, oh, wow, I didn't continue, Rocky, please continue. See, I've told you beforehand, Jesus said, I've already told you. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, he's in Palm Springs doing miracles, do not go out or look. He is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Well, that doesn't sound like a secret rapture to me. When God does anything, it's clear. It's clear. Amen. For as lightning, here it is, comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. And Luke draws on verse 28. That's the terrible supper for the wicked at the end. But you and I, we're going to engage and be involved in the marriage supper of what? Say it with me. The Lamb. Two suppers. By the way, Jesus was not speaking in general terms. Take your Bible, turn to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel, the 12th chapter, please. Someone said in one church years ago that I'm too loud. Well, the message itself demands clarity and volume. That's what happens when you're excited. Would you agree with that? Amen. Daniel 12:1. At that time, Michael, that's another name for Jesus. I have studied this with Baptist preachers. It doesn't mean the great prince Michael is the archangel. That's what Jesus, that's the office that he was involved in prior to becoming the Son of Man. It means Michael over all the angels. The arch is over the door. Jesus is over all the angels of heaven. And by the way, Satan did not agree with that. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. At that time, your people shall be delivered. Whose people? Say it with me. Your people. Oh, sweet Jesus. Oh, sweet, sweet Emmanuel. And everyone found written in the book will be saved. The wise, verse 3, shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. Verse 10, many shall be purified, made white and refined. The wicked shall do wickedly. They shall not understand, but the wise will understand. Say amen. I want you to understand the word of God. Is that wrong for a preacher to say that? I want you to be able to take the word of God, the Bible, God's holy word, and understand it for these times. The Greek word for trouble in this passage is thlipsis. Thlipsis. It's a tongue twister. T-H-I-L-I-P-S-I-S. It means trouble, distress, affliction. It's used in Daniel 12:1 and Matthew 24:21 in the Greek of the Old Testament and Jesus speaking. He wasn't talking of the general affliction caused by wars and natural disasters, but a specific persecution of his faithful ones. And by the way, look at Daniel chapter 11, if you're still there, and look at verse 35. Hold your Bible up if you have it. Verse 35, I want you to catch this. This is very clear. Daniel 11, 35, and some of those of understanding, who understands? The wise. Some of those who are understanding shall what? They'll lose their lives. Some of those who are wise will lose their lives. Look at the similarity of these texts. I'm just going to cover them briefly. At that time, Michael shall stand up. Daniel 12:1. A time of trouble such as never was. Jesus quotes Daniel. That tells me Daniel's a prophetic book. You ought to understand Daniel. Would you agree with that? It's a prophetic book. Oh, my dear friends, how few people study the Word of God. Oh, I want to study the Word. Say amen. I want to know the Bible. Thy Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Is the Bible your favorite book? We read also in Matthew 24, there will be great tribulation, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But Christ, the great prince, is going to shorten those days. Oh, Jesus, you're about to come. And the bridesmaids are making themselves ready. Oh, yes. Are we perfect? No, but we're perfectly his. And he's coming to take you and me home. Oh, I love that. Don't you love that? Heaven's my home. Just over the mountain in the promised land lies a city built by God's own hand. And we're going home. Jesus answered when his disciples came together. For instance, if you look at Matthew again, chapter 24, come there briefly with me, please. Verse 1 and 2, Jesus went out, departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." When you have an opportunity, find a good Bible dictionary and commentary, and you will find how big those stones were. And they said in verse 3, "Tell us, when will these things be?" And listen to this. "And what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age, or the end of the world?" Jesus incorporated the destruction of Jerusalem and the last days. Are you with me? Say amen. I want you to follow my thinking. Look at verse 20 again now. I want you to look clearly at verse 20. I'm going to show you something. I was studying one morning and Jesus said, "Oh, you missed verse 20, Rocky. Listen. And pray that your flight be neither in the winter nor on the Sabbath." Why did he say it here? Because Matthew 24:20 separates the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the world. The Sabbath is clear for those in the first century and those who are living at the end of the world. Matthew 24:20 is a separating point. Did you get that? Ah. The Bible says in Matthew 24:21, "For the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." Jesus had answered the first question with sufficient clarity in Matthew 24:15-20 and Luke 21:20-21. He then concentrates fully on the generation of his followers without explaining the chronological difference or distance between these two events. There will be such distress, Jesus must intervene for his people. My dear friends, I could not help but think of what is happening in the Middle East. 1,400 Israelis killed, martyred, babies with their heads what? Women raped with their breasts cut off. One person who saw all the videos said, "I'll never forget this. I wish I had never seen it." You think that's tough? With the world, by the way, world, Australia, many nations in America and in the world, many nations in the world, and America included, you know what they're doing? They're saying, "Allah Akbar, kill all the Jews. Cut their heads off." If, my dear friends, this can happen, a world turning against the Jews sounds dramatically like World War II. What do you think is going to happen when their spiritual brothers and sisters, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, are proclaiming the Sabbath? Oh, I do not want you to be fearful, but you better hang on to your seatbelt. We're going to take a ride like we've never dreamed of before. But you're not going to be alone. You're not going to be alone. Years ago, my granddaughter was with us in Florida. Her name is Brittany. And she stayed with us, did she not, honey? For many, many weekends. And in fact, I wondered if she was ours or Sherry's and Aaron's. But we love her. Love her dearly. She went for a ride on one of those. She said, "Grandpa, I went for a ride on one of those, what do you call them? Oh, yes. You roll and you coast from side to side. Maybe that's why they call it roller coaster." She said, "Oh, is it exhilarating?" And then she said, "I'm glad I had my seat belt on." Jesus stressed that his people will experience an unequal distress, one that would be of such a severe consequence and global nature that he had to intervene dramatically in their behalf. A friend of mine was talking about one of the banks, and he went to draw money out, and they couldn't get any money. It said ATM closed. I don't know if you're watching some of the things happening in this world, but there is an attempt to bring the dollar, bring it back home. They want your dollars, and digital currency will take over. Oh, does that make me concerned? What if the government says, "Well, listen, Betty, we're not going to allow you to have your money. After all, we determine whether you have it or don't." And you say, "Well, that doesn't sound right. It's my money." Oh, no, not your money now. I have so much pertinent information, it's hard to determine which is more relevant than the other. Mark 13:30 says, "If the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect whom he has chosen, he has shortened them." But you read in Daniel 11:35, "Many, many will fall." There's a whole movement out there in the world that says, "Well, we don't have to worry about that. Why? Help me out here. We're going to be raptured." In John chapter 16, the Lord said, guard my family. And the word used for that is, don't take them out of the world, but go with them, meet with them. Now, it sounds really relevant that if Jesus could quote the book of Daniel, and it's relevant, what about Daniel chapter 3? Did the worthies escape the flame? No, they did not. Who stepped in the flame with them? We know that Jesus did, didn't he? Oh, that's wonderful, my saints, my dear brothers and sisters. You're not going to be alone in this. We're traveling with a companion. Amen? Here are some important things to remember. The times Jesus talks about will be short. Agitation of loyalty to the Sabbath, a little time of trouble. The Holy Spirit falls, a latter rain, enabling God's people to witness, to preach. At that time, the majority of the church leave because they're offended by the truth. And those who give the Elijah call will make that Elijah call. And people will come in from the highways and the byways, and they will fill the very occupation, the very spot left by those who decided to leave us. And we're going to go on to victory. Oh, don't write off your children now, my dear saints. God says, "I will contend with him who contends with your children, and I will save your family." There will arise those who impersonate Christ. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul. Oh my, what a writer. Do you know if Paul had not been called by Jesus 2/3 of the New Testament would have been absent. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. When you find that, say amen. 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 Okay. I want you to read verse 4 with me. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. But Paul also said to Peter, if you're going to sit with the Jews, and then when the Gentiles come in to eat, you stand up and move away, you're a hypocrite. There's only one gospel, the everlasting gospel. You are saved the same way that Paul preached to others. We have eternal life as a gift. Say amen. When Jesus bought you and brought you home to him, he gave you the Holy Spirit and he set the seal of approval upon your life. You are his. Oh, what a Lord. There will arise those who impersonate Christ, especially Satan. Verse 14, listen to it. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into what? Say it with me. Oh, my. Angel of light. I'm really concerned for you and me. I'm really concerned for the church. I don't want to be lost, and I don't want you to be lost. Does that sound good to you? God brought me to this church. I was retired, enjoying the farm, and God brought us, honey, to this church to preach for this hour. I don't know what the future holds, but I'll tell you one thing. God called me, and things are not going to be the same. Number three, when Jesus comes, it will not be a secret rapture. In fact, he says when he will come with the clouds, and how many eyes will see him? Every eye. In Revelation 16, John describes for us how the devil and his demons will perform signs and lying wonders among the political powers of the earth, forming an image to the beast. And through these signs and by these signs, the whole world will be at war with God's people. Next, the battle according to Revelation 16. If you'll take your Bible, turn there. Revelation chapter 16, please. I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, I thought I really knew Revelation until I started studying in earnest again and found jewels that simply arose to the top. Revelation chapter 16. Let's first look at verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. What does a frog do? How do they catch their prey? With their tongue. I hope you're with me now. Listen. And out of the mouth of the dragon, the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth, the whole world, and gather them together to the battle of God Almighty. Verse 15, behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. I think I mentioned to you the thief in the night experience for Seventh-day Adventists is not the second coming. If you wait for that, it's too late. I believe that Dr. Norman Gulley is right. The thief in the night experience is the latter rain. And that's the next event to happen to the Church of God. You know, the devil shakes. He shakes us through false doctrines. Are you with me? Shaking false doctrine. Say it with me. Shaking false doctrine. He sifts us through persecution. Sifts us through persecution. Shakes and sifts. That's drawn dramatically from the harvest time in Israel. Shaking. When you shake corn, the kernels go to one side. And then you sift, shift it in the air, and the wind blows the chaff away, what's going to happen? Every foul wind of doctrine will take some of us away. Yes, I'm concerned. This battle, according to Revelation 16, is called the Battle of Armageddon. Look at verse 16. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Harmageddon. There's no such place as Armageddon. Harmageddon. The quickest understanding of this is that on the plains of Jezreel, leading up to Mount Carmel, it was called the plains of Megiddo. What identified Armageddon? Mount Carmel. What happened on Mount Carmel? Elijah stood up and challenged the priests of Baal. At the end of this world, God's going to have people who are going to stand up. They're going to lift up the truth of God. And they're not going to be offended because of the truth. Amen. Turn to two scriptures. We're going to cover them briefly. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Turn there, please, with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to read to you verses 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. I don't want to lose my voice, so I want someone to take verses 3 through 5. Who's going to read it for me? If you are, you got to have a loud voice. Who's going to be my reader?
I got you over here.
Oh, go for it, brother. Please.
Verse 3. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people, turn away.
Having an image of godliness, but they don't. They are not. Jesus wants to be reproduced in our life, and the Holy Spirit intends to do that. Create in us the image of God. Oh, what a God, my friends. Say amen. What a God we serve. Okay, let me cover some of these. The next one is 2 Timothy 3, and we'll read that in a moment. There will be perilous times. The word chaleps means grievous. Men's hearts grieved over the times of moral corruption. Men and women sorry for the world. I feel so sorry about America. America once was a beautiful place. Amen? Amen. You could come, you could go, you could hike all by yourself at 7 years old and walk for miles. Oh, my. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Paul uses some of these terms in Romans 1 to describe the wicked. I was reading about religion in America. One of the most irreligious places happens to be New England. Oh my, I was born in Vermont. Rocky. Do you mind me taking my jacket off? Oh yeah, now I'm going to preach for an hour. No, I'm not going to do that. New England. The very thought of lovers of pleasure means lovers of themselves, and this thought supplies the key to the rest of what Paul lists. The God you thought you knew, by Richard Neal. I have to give you a little quote of this. In the light of the great conflict portrayed in the Bible, can you see what's happening? God's name is being tarnished by the very people who claim to follow him. It's part of a master plan to discredit the Creator. In another prophetic passage, Paul reveals to what extent the devil will be successful. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Neil goes on, the courthouses are full of lawsuits. The world is in fast decay. One of the key factors that has led to our moral decline is a relatively new idea known as situation ethics, developed in the 1960s by Joseph Fletcher. His theory taught that no action is inherently wrong if you can find a good reason for doing it. That sounds like baloney. Do what you want. What you want. You got to choose. You have to choose. What do you want? A man went to a pet store, and he asked the pet supervisor who had come over, he said, "I want a bird that can sing." He said, "I have just the bird for you." He put the little bird in a box, you know, that's what they do when you pick them up, and he said, "He will sing to his heart's content." And the man brought the little bird home. Sing, oh my, could that bird sing? But he noticed something. The bird only had one leg. He boxed him up from the cage, took him back to the pet store, and he said, "Listen, this bird only has one leg." And then the man replied, "Do you want a bird that can dance or a bird that can sing?" That kind of breaks a little bit, doesn't it, huh? Alleviates a little seriousness. What do you want? What are you searching for? This is going to change. Times are going to change in such a way that you are going to change either for the good or for the bad. There'll be an unlovely spirit among those in the last days. Jesus said the love of money will make many grow cold. There will be a form of godliness without power. Dry bone religion. I read about a Seventh-day Adventist preacher. He had preached for 25 years. How many? You know what he did? He stood up front of his church one day and he said, "I was converted this week. You have had a pastor here for 25 years who has not been converted." A Seventh-day Adventist pastor. "I preached the word, but with no power. Oh God, deliver us." There will be a form of godliness. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to read you something. If you have your Bible, turn there. You remember I said that sermonettes are for what? Well, you don't remember, do you? Christianettes. You'll still make it for lunch. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, come on down with me, and verse 6. "And now you know what is restraining the one who opposes himself and exalts himself, that he may be revealed in his own," what? "Time." The Holy Spirit is going to be withdrawn. You can read it right here. It's in capital letters. "He, for the mystery of godliness is at work. Only," here it is, "he who now restrains will do so until he is," what? The Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, and Satan's going to develop his plan. Second Timothy 4, please turn there quickly, chapter 4, and I'm going to wind down my message for you. I want you to be encouraged, but I want you to be revived. Amen? I will live for God. Let's move through this quickly. Chapter 4, 2 Timothy, verses 1 through 5. Who else will read for me? I need a strong voice. Back here, my brother, nice and loud, please.
They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to
Thank you, brother. Every one of us has a calling from God. Every one of us. I do not care if you're 80 or 90. You have a calling from God. In the climate Paul talks about here, we are to preach the judgment hour message along with the coming of Jesus. Say amen to that. This will mean convincing, exhorting, and teaching the truth with all long-suffering. Why? Because there will be a time when men and women will not endure the preaching of the truth. In fact, they will turn their ears away from the truth and from the one preaching it. Pastor Gail, I don't want to hear it anymore. There will be a crisis in the church. People will gather support for their ideas. It is my opinion that at the end of this world, the shaking in the church will be so intense to the point that people within the church will be the greater enemies of those who are faithful to God. So how am I to face this? Be watchful in all things. We will have to endure hardship, the hardship in this world. I'm going to use the word wise as I wind down here. Because Daniel describes, and I read you the verses in chapter 12, verse 3 and 10. Wise, W-I-S-E, hold your fingers up. Wise, wise. Wake up. Wake up. One night I was driving a car and it was late. I'd been visiting in New England with a friend of mine. He had fallen asleep and I was driving. Ray Williams. He let me drive his little Toyota. By the way, I still haven't got my Toyota. And I was driving. Have you ever thought you were falling asleep while you were driving? Raise your hand, please. Come on. I started to do this here. Do you know what I did? I slapped myself. I slapped myself. Wake up, man. Maybe it's time you slap yourself or you ask your mate to slap you. Wake you up. Wake up, W, wake up. Matthew 24, 36 to 39, wake up. You read those scriptures when you get home. I invite Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior while you still have time to choose. Revelation 3:20, behold, I what? Stand at the door and knock. That's the straight testimony. You don't know that you're naked. You do not know that you're blind. Invite Jesus to be your Lord. 3, stop making excuses for yourself. S, don't make any more excuses. Psalm 32, David said, I admitted to the God how my life really was. Look at yourself. Instead of being, what did I have here? Weatherproofing other people. You know what weatherproofing does? Well, honey, the winter's coming. We got to fill the cracks. What do? We try to fill the cracks in each other. Weatherproofing, don't do that. It doesn't work. And last, expect God to deliver you. The worthies in the fiery furnace said, our God will deliver us. And if he chooses not, let it be known to you, O king, we will not serve you or bow down to you. The wise turn many to righteousness. How was that? Now I'm going to close. By the way, I had burial for a friend of mine named Willard. And these are Willard's notes about a week after the Battle of the Bulge. You know, I spent 3 years in Germany, and I don't know why, but I never went to Belgium. I went to Luxembourg, but not to where the Battle of the Bulge occurred. I'm reading through it. I wish he was alive, I'd tell him. What a story. All right, here's my wind down so you can alleviate some pressure. I need someone to help me. How many of you feel the same way? I need someone to help me. Okay, listen. I need someone to look after me. Written by Max Lucado. Good, I'm glad you're sitting by me. Sometimes I throw up. Not exactly what you like to hear from an airline passenger in the next seat. Before I had time to store my bag in the overhead compartment, I knew his name, I knew his age, I knew his itinerary. I'm Billy Jack. I'm 14. I'm going home to see my daddy. I started to tell him my name, but he spoke first. He said, I need someone to look after me. I get confused a lot. He told me about the special school he attended and the medication he took. Can you remind me, he said, to take my pill in a few minutes? Before we buckled up, he stopped the airline attendant. Don't forget about me. I get confused. My name is Billy Jack. I'm 14 years old. He was a little boy in a big body. Can clouds hit the ground? He asked. I started to answer, but he looked back out the window like he never asked. Unashamed of his needs, he didn't let a flight attendant pass without a reminder. Don't forget me. I'm Billy Jack. I'm 14 years old. I'm going home to see my daddy. When any attendant came by, the rest of us did not forget Billy Jack. We never asked for help. We were grown-up, sophisticated, self-reliant, seasoned travelers. Most of us didn't even listen to the emergency landing instructions. Billy Jack asked me to explain them to him. Billy Jack would have understood the idea of grace. Have you? Many haven't. We're sophisticated. Mature. An epistle to challenge the self-sufficient Romans was written for folks like us. Confession of a need is admission of a weakness. Something we're slow to do. That's why I think Billy Jack would have understood grace. It occurred to me that he was the safest person on the plane. Had the plane encountered trouble, he would have received primary assistance. The flight attendants would not have passed by him. Why? He had placed himself in the care of someone else. After all, I'm Billy Jack. I'm 14 years old. I'm going back to see my daddy. I get confused sometimes. He spent the final hour of the flight with his head on my shoulder, his hands folded between his knees. And just when I thought he was asleep, his head popped up and he said, my dad's going to meet me at the airport. Don't forget. I get confused. I can't wait to see Daddy because he watches after me. He watches after me. Oh, thank you for the grip of grace, Father God. Oh, thank you for the grip of grace. There is no trouble that we will encounter that God is not with us. No trouble that he cannot diffuse. Oh, my dear friends, are you like Billy Jack? I get a little confused. Please don't forget me. I need someone. Would you stand with me as we pray? I thank you for coming. I pray that God touch your heart today. That you know when you leave here that we are going to make it. Bow your heads, which you would please. Oh, Father. Oh, to be like Billy Jack. I get confused myself sometimes, Father. When I think about all the things happening, a world in confusion, in Babylon, we need your help. Would you let us lean on your chest, sweet Jesus? Would you put your arm around us and tell us how important we are because we need someone, dear Lord, to watch over us with this coming strife. Bless us, dear Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen. God, what a God. My dear friends, I love you. I pray you have a great afternoon. And you pray for me. Will you do that? Yes. Amen. Father God, go with us. Jesus, can we lean on your shoulder? Can we lean on your shoulder? Will you put your arm around us? Because none of us are any better than Billy Jack. We need you. In Jesus' name, in your name, amen.